You will agree with me that this is a great day for all South Africans, as we are receiving people who made us proud, Amaboke. None of us, but I can see at least somebody has got something green. And with him, I don't know if maybe I should leave that with Mr. Kettledas. I'm not going to waste time on my remarks, but to say thank you very much for coming today, and I'm sure you are ready for everything, and the members also ready. But I must really make it clear to you that today we are going to listen to your report, and as a committee we are going to make things differently. If we are going to really do things a bit differently than usually, I'm sure everybody is prepared to get your presentation. Some of us maybe with some ideas or some concerns or some questions on your report. But I must make it clear that today we are going to have a very short meeting. I'm not going to allow members to engage with yourselves, but rather to say members should listen to what you are saying, to each and every point you are raising, so that after presentation, we are going to be sitting as the committee next week to look at your report, look at areas of concern, and then from there we invite stakeholders. We invite stakeholders to come and talk to your report. Those areas which they think is areas of concern or whatever, to invite them, stakeholders like labor, organized labor, COSATU, Solidarity, and from NEDLEC it will be community constituency, business unity of South Africa should come and talk to your report. Then from there we call you to engage you, to question why do you have problems, why do you have an unqualified report. But yes, if members want to raise just questions of clarities, then I will allow that. Yeah, but we want to really treat your report differently this time, because we want to satisfy ourselves. We know that DG is not here, and I think on the 6th of next month he will be with you. He will be back wherever he is. We are going to get from Mr. Kettledas why the DG is not here with us today. But we are hoping that next time when you call you back, he will be here. But today, members, really I'm pleading with you, let's open our ears, eyes, and listen to the presenter. Let me not waste no more time, but give to Mr. Kettledas and to also introduce your delegation. Thank you very much. And I must say, members, we committee secretary is not here today. She's writing the exam, and with us we have Claudine Adams next to me here, who will be taking minutes today. But we are saying welcome, and in such a big day, Some of you will be going back celebrating, those who are in favor of the Boge. And I'm sure everybody really is in favor of that team, the team which is uniting all of us, black and white. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Kesura.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, and honorable members of the committee. Good morning to everyone. Chairperson, thank you. We have taken note of the process that you had outlined in dealing with the department's annual report. We want to make an apology for the Director General. He is unfortunately out of the country on official business. He's due to return over the weekend, so that is why he's not here today. The delegation, you are familiar with quite a number of the faces. Right on the end is Tina Ruiz. She is the director in the DG's office. Next to her is, of course, you know, Maswadi Chaba, the Deputy Director General for Corporate Services. Next to her, Sheikh Mkonto, the Compensation Commissioner. Next to me here is the Chief Financial Officer, Chris Van Amerwe. Next to me on my left is Siyanda Zondeki, the Deputy Director General of Service Delivery. Sam Moratova, Deputy Director General, Employment and Skills Development Services. Ganga Tengwe, Chief Director in the DG's office. Sloniswa Mpaka, you should know her. She's our Parliamentary Officer. And Boa Serue, the Unemployment Insurance Fund Commissioner. Chairperson, we'll make the presentation in two parts today. I will deal with the programmatic part, and the Chief Financial Officer will deal with the financial part and the Auditor General's report. The presentation will start off with the key issues for the main division. So we'll start off with service delivery. Under service delivery, we can record that 88% of the unemployment insurance fund claims have been processed and paid within 6 weeks of receiving complete documentation. Now, what we mean by complete documentation is that all the necessary documents that support your claim should be submitted. You do find sometimes that a document is outstanding from the employer. For example, a UI-19 which sets out your employment history and so on. So when the documents have all been received as complete, we then record that 88% of those have been processed and paid within 6 weeks. The system is also such now that you can tell an applicant right across the table how many credits they have due, what the payment would be, and when the payment can be expected even in their bank accounts, if they have a bank account. 35% of the claims that the compensation funds receive are from the provinces. And those have been paid within 90 days of receiving, again, complete documentation. Now, there's a lot of documents supporting a claim for compensation. The first is, of course, the accident report that you must have. Then, where there is where medical attention is given, you then need to receive the first medical reports. And if medical attention is given over a period of time, you then get further medical reports up to the point where you get a final medical report. So those are important reports in the adjudication of a claim. And again, we stress the point of complete documentation. You cannot expect the claim to be processed if there is no accident reports, because that's the basis. That's the starting point, the foundation for considering a claim for compensation. We have also completed the first phase of the employment services system, which is being implemented this year. And the purpose of the employment services system is to record work seekers on our database, to match them with jobs that are available or skills development opportunities that are available. So we are developing the system to the point where it will be more effective in matching work seekers with jobs that are available. And when employers are required to register their vacancies with the department, the system will even function more effectively. 2,637 projects were identified for support, and 2,314, or 88% of those, were supported with respect to skills development initiatives that support provincial growth and development strategies. What we have done this time is to give you a breakdown by province of the number of projects within the provinces, the number supported, and then just the percentage of those. And you will see that, for example, on the slide, that in Mpumalanga, 460 projects were supported there, KZN 503, Eastern Cape 687. So the total for the province is broken down is set out there at 2,314 projects. Continuing on service delivery, 118,153 unemployed people were trained, and 90,691, or 77% of those, were placed, with 36% receiving accredited training. Now, that is again broken down by province, so that people can see where these are taking place across the country. You'll see that that the number trained was in total 118,153, broken down, for example, in Mpumalanga, 11,336, taking at random KwaZulu-Natal, 19,313, Eastern Cape 20,610, and the number of those placed is again broken down. You can see, for example, in the Eastern Cape, 98% of those that were trained were placed, and 93% of those trained in Mpumalanga were placed, and again with 99%. In Northwest place. So that's the provincial breakdown of those that were trained. Those that were retrenched, of those 2,294 were registered, 696 were counseled, and 642 were referred for training. Now, the counseling includes accessing unemployment insurance fund benefits, financial advice. If you received large sums of money as a retrenchment package, you are given advice as to how best to invest that money, but also looking at retraining opportunities. So again, a provincial breakdown shows that the retrenchees that were registered were mainly Gauteng South, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Northwest and Eastern Cape, with the largest number being KZN. And then again, of those councils, you will see the breakdown of those councils as well as those trained. The focusing on the youth, 3,826 youth were trained and 1,462 were placed in sustainable employment. And again, there's a provincial breakdown, starting with Gauteng South, 934, Western Cape, 1,371, and then again, you'll see the placement figures. Coming to inspections, we see that 100 out of 180,767 workplaces that were inspected, 136,845 complied. Now, those that did not comply would either have received a prohibition notice if it's an OHS matter, or an undertaking was secured to comply, or a compliance order was issued. But on those that complied, you see that 136,000 are broken down. In Mpumalanga, 11,000 out of 15,000, 72% compliance rate. There are also gaps in the petition here. If we look at Eastern Cape, 85% compliance rate. Northern Cape, 85% again. KZN, 83%. 81% in Free State and so on, with the lowest level there looking at this province, Western Cape, that 679 complied, not compiled, I think it's a spelling mistake there, complied out of 1,282. Then we have the complaints. These come in by telephone, they come in by people visiting our offices. 97% of the labor-related complaints were settled within 90 days. And you will see that it ranges from 94% for Limpopo to 50% in the Eastern Cape. So that 97% of those have been settled. Then, further on inspection, 5,692 workplaces in high-risk industries were inspected. For example, your construction industry, agriculture, and others. And we then see that there's been a 23% decrease of reported incidences. This is again broken down, where in Mpumalanga there were 269 cases, Gauteng North 639, Free State quite a high number, 2,788, and that in total gives you the 5,692. On the legislative part, the draft OHS policy and bill has been finalized in consultation with the Occupational Health and Safety Advisory Council, comprising the social partners. And there is still a further process of consultation going on in that area. Coming to the skills development area, the total funds available was 2.2 billion, the expenditure 714.3 million, commitments just over 1 billion. And the percentage spent against the total budget was 81%. And in the following slides, we give some breakdown in some key areas. 37.8 million rand have been paid to seven providers to train 20,000 unemployed ABET learners. And again, we give a breakdown of the providers. You'll see that it covers Portobello Guidance Center, where 4.7 million was given. And 800 people were trained there. Then going forward, 10 million rand has been budgeted for the printing of a guide and training of career guidance counselors, and training was targeted to commence in this financial year. These career guidance counselors assist work seekers in the choice of careers. 360 million rand in grants were approved to benefit 10,900 learners on learnerships, apprenticeships, and internships. And here what we have done was to break them down by SETA, starting with the bank SETA, but also by province, to see what the spread of these learners, apprentices, and internships have been across the provinces and across the SETA. Then undergraduate and postgraduate students have also received bursaries totaling 78.5 million We had 1,148 undergraduate students and 1,042 postgraduate students. And again, what we show there are the institutions at which these students are pursuing their learning, starting with the Cape Peninsula Tech in Bellville, going down to the Free State University and the Vaal University of Technology on the next page. And again, the spread of those across the province. So similarly with the postgraduate, we also show...
Can you just a minute? I don't know if these people really are aware that we are sitting as a committee. I don't know.
No, they are aware. I don't know if they are aware of that committee.
Okay. Yeah, can we will again send somebody there? Okay, carry on.
I think the problem is the partitions. They don't.
The partitions are really not close enough to. I must say I'm sorry for the venue, but before it used to be first come first served, but this time we are being allocated committee rooms. It's not our choice really to be here, but I'm sure next time we will have a convenient a venue for us. Can we just carry on, and then we, for now, let's just live with it.
Thank you, Jeff. We get the impression maybe the Kowak Dambo is airport with all the people around. Chair, all the 23 seaters, they have signed SLAs, service level agreements, by the end of July last year, and 20 of those seaters have performed successfully against the set targets. 98,588 employed and unemployed learners were trained in programs linked to scarce skills, of which 33,674 completed. And 3,287 youth were trained in the new venture creation learnership. Then again, it's broken down strategic projects to the value of 886 million were initiated in 49 provinces over the next 3 years. And again, you'll see there a breakdown by province and the amount allocated to each province and the number of learners that budget will cover. And then also we've broken down the types of programs like learnerships, internships, apprenticeships, bursaries, and skills programs across the provinces to give an indication of the spread across the country. In Vlela, which is the assessment center, arranged 9,387 assessments, 96 have withdrawn, 1,482 were absent, 7,905 tested, and 3,192 passed. This is the center where apprentices go to have their trade tests done. And these assessments were conducted between 2 and 6 months. Labor market policy and labor market programs. A research sample to inform the welfare sectoral determination was expanded. We are in the process of making a sectoral determination for workers in the welfare sector. The sample was done, but it was felt that because of the diverse nature of the sector, that we needed to expand the sample, because it's quite a diverse sector. And the time frame for the project has been extended into this financial year. Sectoral determinations were published for hospitality sector workers, and as you will recall, this was launched in May this year, and the hospitality sector determination cover over 560,000 workers, employed by more than 40,000 employers. The contact cleaning?
I'm just elaborating to what
I said about how many workers it covers. It's not there, but I'm just giving you more information. The contract cleaning with public sectoral determination for contract cleaning, there over 100,000 workers are covered. Civil engineering, there about 35,000 workers are covered. Private security minimum wages was also reviewed and published, and in the private security sector, again, there's over 300,000 people that are being covered there. An awareness raising strategy on elimination of child labor was also conducted in all of the provinces, and child labor activities are included in the provincial structure, specifically where we do inspections and enforcement of the legislation. All staff have been trained on the Child Labour Programme of Action, and pilot programs have been implemented to address the worst forms of child labour, and those include commercial sexual exploitation, child trafficking, and children used by adults to commit crime. You know that sometimes children are used to break into motor cars, steal radios, and then those radios are sold to get money. The newly published labour market information has been captured and analysed. What we need to do here is to analyse, for example, the labour force surveys, the trends on employment and unemployment, and so on. Reports that we have produced, the industrial action report, which sets out the number of industrial actions that have taken place over a particular period. The sectors in which those have taken place, the unemployment and employment trends, labor market review, state of skills, client satisfaction survey. So reports have been produced in those areas. The research monitoring and evaluation agenda has been implemented. It was a 20-month agenda that comes to an end in March next year. And the partnership was entered into with the HSRC for the commissioning of the research. We've also had delegations, in fact, tripartite delegations, participate in the ILO conference last year and the governing body. And as you will recall, the minister was elected as chairperson of the ILO governing body last year in June, and his term had just expired in June this year. All payments to NEDLAC, we do not give the funds to NEDLAC in one go. We give it in quarterly payments so that we are able to track the performance also of the institution. We have completed two progress reports on the implementation of the Growth and Development Summit. A consolidated report which incorporates what business has been doing, what the community organizations and the labor organizations have been doing, has been consolidated into one report, and that was presented to the Presidential Working Group meeting that was held last year. But a consolidated report was also presented to this committee in August last year. And then the Sheltered Employment Factory Turnaround Strategy has been approved by the minister and implemented. Coming to administration, in the area of communication, a communication strategy for the 2006 and 2007 was developed and implemented, and strategic partnerships were entered into to enhance the communication of the department. Training programs for provincial communicators were undertaken with the Institute for Advancement of Journalism. As you recall, we have a provincial communicator in each of the provinces, in addition to those at the head office. And all those provincial communicators have completed courses in basic reporting and feature writing, so that they are also able to write feature articles in regional newspapers. The human resource management side, the department's HRM facilitated the development of staff, ensured effective and efficient utilization of the human capital, and renders legal services to the department. We have a legal services unit within the department. The integrated policy on gender, disability and youth, as well as the information technology policies were developed, and a total of 3,352 officials were trained in terms of identified training needs. Employment equity has been implemented as one of the department's key strategic areas. The department, though the custodian of the employment equity legislation, is also required to report as an employer, public sector employer, and that has been implemented. Information technology, further enhancements have taken place here. CIA, which is the claims management system used by the Unemployment Insurance Fund, has been enhanced based on additional and revised business requirements. That's the system I explained earlier on, that when unemployed workers come to claim Unemployment Insurance Fund benefits, that is the system that is being used to record their claims, to verify their ID numbers, to indicate what the credits are that they are entitled to. An online employment equity system was introduced in 2006 in line with the employment equity regulations and the business strategy. This system was introduced to assist employers to report electronically the reports that they are supposed to submit annually. More than 700 additional personal computers were commissioned to the ICT environment. This is what we refer to as tools of trade. People that are appointed have access to computers to perform their duties. So 700 additional computers have been commissioned. And service delivery at the remote sites was enabled by providing IT services to 20 mobile labor centers. These are the labor centers that go into the far rural areas where the people are not having easy access to Department of Labor centers. Then lastly, on financial management, a management tool to prepare performance targets and calculate activity-based budgets has been developed. A revised monthly and quarterly reporting system for performance and budget management has been developed in line with Treasury requirements, and this system will assist the department to account for both performance and expenditure in an integrated way based on the requirements that the National Treasury has put out. So, Chairperson, that is the first part dealing with the programmatic information. And then the second part, which is presented by the Chief Financial Officer, which is the expenditure information against the budget that has been appropriated by Parliament. Thank you.
Over to you, Mr. Finkman.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. If I look at the first slide, you will notice that the department had a vote of 1.493 billion. Of which it spent 1.453 billion, reflecting a saving of 39.9 million, which translates to a 2.7% underspent. In terms of the Sectoral Education and Training Authorities, which is the statutory amount, you'll notice that the Sectoral Education and Training Authorities budgeted for 4.2 billion, they received 4.2 billion. National Fuel Fund budgeted for 1.065 billion, and they received 1.065 billion. If we then move on to the next slide, what I'd like to highlight, Chairperson.
Just a minute, Mr. Sandberg. Members, do you all have led or the first one? Because it's just blank in our.
The color was yellow, and when they copied it, it didn't come through, so they fixed it.
Okay,
but can you just go back to it so that members can just look at it? Your mic, please, Mr. Lapisakne.
Is that slide number two?
perhaps in the annual report, then we could look at this in the annual report with
yeah,
the composite.
Should be there. Is it there? Yeah.
It was one page.
Okay.
Page 50.
Okay, annual report.
Thank you.
Switch off your mic, Ndate. Hey, Ndate van Merwe. Switch off your mic, please. Ella Bustakne, not van der Merwe. Over to you, sir. Can you perhaps, do we perhaps want to just grab a cup of tea before it gets cold? Please, I'm sorry to do this to you, Mr. Van der Merwe, but
no problem.
Can we just grab a cup of tea and come back to our chef quickly? 5-3 minutes. Please, can we do that on silence? Because maybe we are doing the same thing as they did to us next door. Can we just do that quietly?
I'm going to go to the next one.
Can we start, please? Can we come back to our chairs and start? Can we start? Over to you, Mr. San Romero.
Chairperson, just explain those. There are three slides that have come out because of the color that was used. They are reprinting it, and we will distribute it when it comes.
Okay. And the previous presentation, your presentation, you remember there were slides that was not there. Somebody was saying, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Chairperson. Yeah, Chairperson, is it possible for me to talk to the slide on the board until we can distribute these slides that are being printed at the moment? Okay, can we go back to the previous slide, please?
Yeah.
Because, Chairperson, honorable members, that is a summary of the departmental performance for the year ending in the March 2007. You will notice that the allocation appropriation was 1.493 billion. The expenditure was 1.453 billion, with a saving of 39.9 million, which equates to 2.7% underspend on the budget. Statutory amounts reflect the income in respect of the National Skills Fund and the CETAs. And that amount is the amount that's actually received by the fiscus, and that's why the two figures are identical. So the bottom line reflects the total income for the department of 6.8 billion versus an expenditure of 6.7 billion and still a saving of 39.9 million. And of note there is the two areas of underspend, the biggest area there being goods and services, underspend of 22.2 million, and compensation of employees 9.4 million. Can we move on? Chairperson, that's just a graphical presentation of what I've just spoken to. So I'd like to move on, please. If we come to the next slide, this is an indication of the transfer payments and subsidies that the department made. And you notice that the budgeted transfers amounted to 417 million. We transferred 410 million. And the biggest two variances there is the National Qualification Framework, which is the third one from the top, which payment did not take place, of 3.8 million. And then further down, you'll see that there is, in respect of the compensation fund, a 2.4 million underspend, but that is based on the fact that we only pay the compensation fund what they claim from us in terms of public services members injured on duty.
Okay, just a minute. What page is this on the report?
I'm looking at slide 45.
Page
33. Sorry, on mine. On the hard copy. Okay, Chairperson, we then come to the Auditor General's report, which is encapsulated in three parts: Department of Labor, Shelter Employment Factories, and National Skills Fund. And now I think we can go back to the documentation that was distributed. So the first qualification was in respect of asset management, or the only qualification was in respect of asset management, where they stated that in spite of extensive efforts undertaken by the department, due to the size of the department and the fact that our labor centers are so far spread, the task could not be timely completed. but we're in the progress of completing that task. So the corrective measures in the interim asset management unit to be put in, to be implemented in the department to ensure that the asset register is accurate and complete and supports the fixed asset indicators in the financial statements. And the asset register is now regularly being reconciled with the balances reflected on LOGIS. Regarding emphasis of the matter, there was a problem with the administration of leave records, and the corrective measures are leave registers that have been introduced to ensure that all managers exercise control over the management of leave. Management of leave has been included as one of the key performance areas as reflected in each manager's core management criteria and the general assessment factors which are part of the individual performance management system. This is to ensure that all managers are assessed on their management of leave. So this is what the process has been put into motion to develop guidelines based on the leave policy. In terms of matters highlighted, there was a problem with receivables of debtors amounting to 10.2 million relating to staff debtors. And the corrective action is, as stated in the audit report, the department is in the process with its recovery actions to the extent that the cost of doing so will not exceed the benefits thereof. The department is also writing off the debts in accordance with the debt management policy. Now, Chairperson, on this issue, I just need to highlight that this is a fairly tedious process in the sense that we need to track people in many instances using SATs, using various tracing agents, sometimes even using municipal records in order to try and trace these people before we decide that they are untraceable, and then we refer the matter to the state attorney, who will then advise us as to whether it is worth recovering the amount, or whether we should pursue it, or whether we should write it off. Monitoring of control of employee cost, lack of monitoring over salary fertile EBT control account. The department takes note of the recommendations and action will be taken to improve the clearing of this account for the 2007-2008 financial year.
Your mic, please.
Chair, that slide 50, if you check the slide 50 that I'm hearing, unless my eyes have something wrong, there's no correspondence in this slide, Chair. Slide 50 there is a presentation, and slide 50, the one that I'm having, and the previous slide, slide 49 and slide 49 that I'm having, there's no correspondence. I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah. No, I think if you can just apply your... Yeah, it's the same. I think it's the same. Maybe the print thing is, or the font is so little that you think something is left out, but I think it's fine. It's fine for now. Can you carry on, Mr. Sandman?
Okay, we've covered slide 50 in the sense that we are now doing a reconciliation on a monthly basis between these two accounts, but it is an interface that should not require reconciliation. So we have reported this matter to CETA to find out why there is not a matching, because it's an interface that takes place automatically between these two systems. If we come to value for money...
Chair, I must send a point of order. This is actually an extremely important part of the briefing. It's the highlighting of audit problems and the measures the department is making. We are sitting here with a complete, incomplete correlation of documents. We don't have those slides, we have other slides. And really it's difficult to try and read that
to try and make notes.
Can you just give Mr. Labuskagh the slides, please? Yeah, if you do, I'm sorry about that. If you don't have the copies, can we all have the copies, please?
I think the person is through that the wrong slide. Yeah,
I think the ones which are distributed last is the correct one. Because on the side, what we are
presenting here are the slides, are the hard copies that we brought this morning. And that is what members should have. We didn't distribute other copies. We distributed this morning what this is.
Can I just get that wrong copy? Can you just bring the wrong copy, please?
Can I try to verify this? We bought these two copies of the presentation. And the presentation that is presenting now is this one. And this one is the one that you received before. And so that's the piece of the problem. So we need to get this thick one. I think that's the one that you can get.
Tina, can you just make sure they are getting it?
Yeah.
Are you all okay now?
We
don't have it separately, so we're not passing this out now. Can we just be, let's organize, remember we said, let's organize that, because we are here to receive the annual report, and as I have said, we are not going to have that engagement as such, but we need to have the correct thing, because this is important for us, because we are going to sit as a committee to discuss what you have presented to us today. So can you just give a few minutes for the department to make sure that everyone has got a copy?
Yeah, while we have extra minutes, can I just make a point?
In the past we have requested we must be given correct information. And I can tell you now that we have not been given, we have said 7 days before presentation. And I can tell you now, the presentation that we have been trying to look into is not exactly the true reflection of what is happening here. So it means there's somebody. It's either from portfolio committee, secretary position, or from department. Somebody's trying to play some games with us. And this is wrong. This can't be accepted, Chair.
I think because we are not sure of who is maybe sabotaging, that is not be an issue now. We are going to be discussing about all these shortcomings when we deal with this presentation. But for now, can we just bear with them, the department, and then wait for the right or the correct information.
Thank you.
Can I just clarify? What we are presenting on the screen, we had made hard copies of, and that is what was available this morning here in the room. I don't know what other version was said.
Yeah, that's what they are disputing. So I just want to, because mine is okay. I don't know if really what I, we need to satisfy them. They are showing the two copies. If you can just look at the two copies that was shown just now, check which one is the...
Can I ask this in this regard? This is the presentation that we are supposed to be receiving. And the members, they have this thin copy, which is not a reflection of what he's saying. So the only thing, they must just distribute this one that also talks about what Zulu Natali, about Christian cake and so on. There's no Christian cake for Zulu Natali in this thing.
Yeah, that's what we understood. That's how we understood what he said earlier on. So I think copies are being made, produced, and then we will get the right copy.
Officially distributed copy. I will take no ownership of 10 feet of paper. I must make that clear. I can't take ownership for that.
Yeah, no, we will put it, we will get it, we will know where does it come from. Yeah. Somebody smuggled it in. Who is making copies? Who is producing copies? I hope we are not just sitting, not knowing who is doing that, or Tina is doing. Are they assisting him, those who are in?
Yes.
Okay. Those who are outside, I don't know if all members are here. Is that there, Anthony? Are they all in?
No, we don't have it.
Can you just call them outside? Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. Is that the Yeah, okay, over to you, sir.
Yeah, Chairperson, honorable members, I'd like to apologize for this confusion and the delay. And I think I was last talking to slide 50. And I'm hoping that everybody has a slide 50. 50.
Anything wrong? Is Is there any chaos? Is it because of the bokeh or excitement in the country? Over to you, sir.
Okay, Chairperson, I'm on slide 50, which reads, other matters, monitoring of controls, employee costs. Lack of monitoring over the salary caps of EPT control accounts. And the corrective action is the department takes note of the recommendation and action will be taken to improve the clearing of this account. However, in the last sentence it says, the indicator report only indicates that it is preferable to have a zero balance at year end. So we are going to tighten up on this area as well. Then I go to slide 51, value for money matters. And the item that was the issue there was the following non-compliance with the National Environmental Management Act. Section 11.2 requires the department to prepare an environmental management plan within 1 year of the promulgation of this act, and at least every 4 years thereafter. Now the corrective action is an environmental plan is currently in draft phase. Upon approval, this plan will be submitted to the Office of the Auditor General and be implemented. Then, Chairperson, the next item was internal audit, where the Auditor General felt that they could not place reliance as planned on the work of the internal audit, as the planning process and conclusions on audit work performed by internal audit was not sufficiently documented as required. And the corrective measures, a project team has been established to review progress made with the establishment of a risk management unit. Annual risk assessments to be performed, follow-up responses on audit reports issued, the review of the internal audit structure and the use of IT software in order to improve on the audit documentation. Madam Chair, we then move on to shelter and employment practices, and here vast improvements have been made compared to the previous year. But still there were qualifications, and there was qualifications regarding supply chain management process not followed, and the corrective measures, it is impractical to tender for supply of the two main raw materials used, i.e. SABS approved textiles and wood. Since there are limited suppliers, 3 for textiles and 4 for Serigna wood. Competitive quotes are always obtained for all purchases, and the most favorable quote is selected based on price, quantity, and delivery. To meet tight customer deadlines immediately, actions include, we will now advertise in major newspapers for alternative suppliers on a periodic basis. It's not possible to go out for each and every purchase and go out on tender. The other item was impairment of fixed assets, exercise not completed at year-end, and corrective measures, 60% completed by year-end, 6.0607. The remaining 5 factories will be completed. Policy is in place to reconcile fixed assets on a quarterly basis. Then there was an item regarding stock in transit, non-disclosure at year-end, and the corrective measures, is a full record of goods in transit is maintained now and continuously reconciled with delivery notes, which was not the case previously. Other matters, risk assessment, corrective measures. They say material corrections made to the financial statements submitted for audit. Corrective measures, annual financial statements were amended to take into account obsolete stock to be written off, depreciation of assets, and disclosures of financial leases. Non-compliance with applicable legislation. Supply procedures, corrective measures, advertising major newspapers for alternative suppliers in September 07. Preparation of a strategic plan, corrective measures, formal policy to be established. Then we come to non-compliance with applicable legislation, internal control procedures for payment progressing, corrective measures, preparation for payment and authorization is performed by separate functions and individuals. Payment within 30 days of invoice, corrective measures, we say it's impractical to make payments within 30 days of invoice. Practice is to pay within 30 days of statement, and approval will be sought from National Treasury in this regard. We have to bear in mind that they make numerous purchases from the same supplier during the month, and so you have to process payments for each and every single invoice on a 30-day basis. Becomes problematic in terms of time constraints, etc. Non-compliance with applicable legislation, the Medical Schemes Act, corrective measures. Council for Medical Schemes has agreed that the SEF merely needed to apply for exemption in terms of Section 8H of the Medical Schemes Act until such time as an affordable alternative could be introduced in the SEF and as approved by the Department of Labour and the National Treasury. And then the last one, I think, is non-compliance with applicable legislation. Public Finance Management Act, insurance contracts relating to all the assets. Corrective measures, there are measures in place to safeguard assets that include proper warehousing, security of premises and assets, and proactive management to monitor the controls. Matters of governance, strategic plan of the chief, corrective measures, there is an action plan and control matrix for putting effect to the turnaround strategy. Internal audit, non-reliance and audit of internal audit work. Corrective measures, internal auditors have been seconded to assist SES management, and they will now obviously improve on the the files and the proof of what has been done. We then come to the National Skills Fund, qualification project expenditure. Corrective measures, the NSF has conducted a detailed analysis of the current procurement processes against the fourth qualification. The NSF is in the process of drafting proposals to align the existing procurement processes with the supply chain processes and policies of the department. Qualification completeness of commitments. Corrective measures and accrual-based accounting system will be implemented, which will ensure that the commitments are correctly reflected on the financial statements. And this has now been approved by the DG, and we're in the process of procuring such a system. A request has been made for acquisition of an accrual accounting software package and the appointment of external resources to assist with the setting up of an accrual accounting system. And the emphasis of the matter, basis of accounting, departures and deviations, corrective measures, the department has taken note of Auditor General's comments. Now, we believe that the qualification that precedes this will address this problem, because the problem here has always been that NSF has been accounted for on a cash basis of accounting, whilst the Auditor General wants it to be accounted for on the accrual basis of accounting. And under other matters, material corrections made to the financial statements have been for audit. Corrective measures, the department has taken note of the Auditor General's comments. Then matters of governance. Operational manuals for funding windows. Corrective measures, all operational manuals with exception of the social development funding window have been approved and submitted to the Auditor General. And then just lastly, the internal audit. Corrective measures, a project team has been established to review progress made with the establishment of the risk management unit. Annual risk assessments to be performed, follow-up responses on audit reports issued, the review of the internal audit structures and the use of IT software. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. From the department. Members, that was the presentation. You heard about the key issues per main division. You heard about the financial processes or the report. And of course, I know that there are issues of concern. Issues of employment factories, as we know. Issues of national skills fund. But as I have already said, can I just get, maybe if you have questions of clarity from the department, but they will be called again. Is there anything given to them as a provision?
No, Chairperson, it's just a request, and I thank you to the department for their presentation. But just to say, perhaps it will be helpful that when the department does come to us as planned, that they could give us an idea of in which areas have they improved since the last report. If you could just identify those areas so that we are able to do some kind of a comparison and measure whether there has been any progress. That would be very helpful to us. Thank you.
Okay. Yena Hafra. It seems we don't have questions of clarity. They have received the report. Like I am saying, we are not going to raise any question. But we are saying thank you for presenting to us. But because we want to consult more, we are going to be inviting stakeholders the following week. In a week after then, you will be called again. And I must apologize, maybe, because I assumed that the committee secretary will caution the department that today's exercise will be just getting the presentation. I know that for you to bring such a huge delegation, it costs money. But like I have said, the committee has really decided to rather engage more. To come and get, because we cannot just invite stakeholders before getting the report from yourself, and then when you are called in, it will be an engagement. And I must say, members, that I'm sure that they haven't left anything behind. And we, as we all know, that the role of the department in the aligning of its program with the objective of it's actually aligning itself with the objective of GIPSA and ASPISA is also central to boosting the skills development in the labor market. And greatly contribute to the fight against poverty, which is what we all are looking for. So we are hoping that department knows their weaknesses and challenges, and they are going to really work hard on those challenges. But thank you, Mr. Kettleda, for coming. We are hoping when you are called in, perhaps on the 6th, maybe the DG will also be available. We have arranged for finger lunch. It will be at 12, if I'm not wrong, 12 o'clock. it and it will be served here. But we don't want you to leave without having that. But if you can just give us a few minutes, then at 12 you will come and have that, have lunch with us. I don't know if you'll be able to get any corner. Sony will take you around here until 12 because we want to meet as a committee now. And please, thank you very much for coming. Members, can we just allow them a few minutes to just recuse themselves?
Thank you very much, Jefferson, and we look forward to further engagement with the committee later.